In the gospel reading today, we hear something that is really quite astounding. First of all, Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. I know mine and mine know me." If he would have stopped there, that would not have been a problem at all. Just as little children know who their parents are, and the parents know who their children are. You can see them from a long ways away. You can recognize their voice. So a shepherd knew exactly who his sheep were, and the sheep recognized their shepherd. We can all handle that, no problem. It's what comes next. "Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." So it's not just that he knows who we are and we know who he is. He said, "My sheep know me, and I know my sheep, even as I know my Father, and my Father knows me." That's the astounding thing, because that's what he is inviting us into, to know him as he knows the Father. He and the Father are one. Their minds, their mind, one. There is one divine mind. There is one divine will. He says that we will know him the way that he knows his Father. Now, there is only one way that that can happen, and that is if we are so perfectly conformed to Christ that we are of one mind and one will with him. If we put it into a different form, it's what St. Teresa of Avila calls the seventh mansion. It is to achieve a level of holiness where we are literally transformed so that our will and God's will are one. But he didn't say that I'm just inviting a few extraordinarily holy, saintly souls to this. He said, "My sheep, all of us." Yeah, we have St. Teresa and we have St. John of the Cross and we have a few saints like that. But he didn't say that this was just for a select few. He's inviting you and me into the exact same thing. Now, we should point out that if we make it to heaven, this is how everyone is going to be. Every single person in heaven, we're incorporated into Christ. We're already in him in baptism. So again, we don't just know him from the outside. We're incorporated into Christ. It's already there. But now it's a matter of getting all the gunk out of the way that doesn't allow us to be perfectly united with Christ. So, if we make it to heaven, the gunk is out of the way. Either because we have achieved that level of holiness in this life, or because we spent however much time in purgatory getting the gunk out, because we didn't do it in this life. But regardless, in heaven, we will know him, and he will know us, even as he knows the Father and the Father knows him. Now, by that doesn't mean we will know perfectly, because we can't. God is infinite, our minds are finite. And the infinite cannot get into the finite, so therefore it's not that we know perfectly the way that the Father and the Son know one another absolutely and perfectly, but we will know as they know. It will be infused. It will be from the inside. Most of what we know from the outside. We receive things through the senses. We see things, smell things, hear things, touch things, taste things. And that's how we know. Just as I said earlier, you know your child's voice. A young mother knows when her child is crying. There can be 20 kids in the room. She knows which one is hers, not only by sight, but by sound. We have it through the senses. But this is going to be from the inside, not from the outside. It can happen in this world. But again, that's going to require a certain level of holiness, the commitment to the prayer and to striving for that union with God, but for all of us, if we get to heaven, this is how it's going to be. That's why St. John says, we will know even as we are known. God doesn't know you from the outside. You're not going to get to heaven and he's going to go, oh yeah, I recognize you. You lived back in the 21st century, didn't you? Oh yeah, I remember you. No. He knows you. He knows you from the inside. And that's how we're going to know him. We're not going to be sitting in heaven going, oh yeah, God's way up there. It's true, I need binoculars to see him, but you know, he's way up there and I'm way down here, and yep, we're all looking at him. We all know who he is. That's the Trinity way up there. No, that's not what you're going to be doing. You're going to be in God. And you will know him from the inside as perfectly as you are capable of knowing, which means that you will love him as much as you are capable of loving him. That's what eternity is going to be. But you notice that he didn't say, if my sheep make it to heaven, if they get to the green pastures where I'm leading, and then they will know me. He didn't say that. He's talking about now. Not just later. So when we see some of these great saints and what they have taught us, they teach us that this is possible even now. Most people will never get there because either they don't want to or a lot of them have no idea that it's even possible. But it's a lot of work. And again, we have to admit what we've talked about many times. We like our sins more than we love God. Now, I know we're not going to say that. But the reality is there. It's obvious. If we love God more than we love our sins, we would give up our sins in an instant because they offend God. Now, why would I want to do something that's going to offend God? If I'm supposed to be one mind and one will with God, and I love him with my whole heart and soul and strength, and the sins are out of here. But because I love me more than I love God, then I'm in love with my sins. And they're more important to me than God, so on that level, God kind of gets pushed to the outside, but my sins, oh, those are right there because that's what's important. That's where the trouble comes. We have to have that absolute love for God. And when we have that and we go deeper and deeper into the mystery of God who dwells within us, he's already there. This is the beauty of this. He dwells in you and he wants you to dwell in him. He knows you perfectly. He's already there. He wants you to know him as perfectly as you are capable of doing. And that can only happen from the inside. That's the invitation he is giving to each and every one of us. Satan is doing a bang-up job trying to make sure that this doesn't happen. So our lives are chaos, noise everywhere. Prayer gets pushed right out because there isn't time because we have to be on the internet and we have to watch these programs on TV and I just don't have time to pray because my favorite soap opera is on. How can I pray and watch my soap opera? So the soap opera is far more important. You can fill in the blank with whatever it is you want. God gets pushed right out. We need to make God the center. We need to make prayer what is most important. Yeah, we have all the other things in our day that we have to do. It's part of the duties of our state in life, and that becomes part of our spiritual life. But prayer is the most important. That must be the priority for all of us. When the prayer is the priority, when God is the priority, then he starts rearranging everything. All these things that we thought were so important, we suddenly realize really aren't. And everything has its proper position. And as that happens, we begin little by little to be conformed to God. It's who we were created to be. We're made in His image and likeness. That's how we're supposed to be. And finally, when we can make it to that upper level, we can be not only conformed, but transformed, so that our mind and our will are one with God's mind and God's will. That's what this is all about. That's what our Lord is inviting us into right now. We are His sheep. He knows us. And interestingly, He says, we know Him, even as He knows the Father and the Father knows Him. So don't just know that He's there in the Blessed Sacrament. Don't just know who that is up on the crucifix. He wants you to know Him. Enter in. His heart is wide open to you. He is absolutely in love with you, and He wants you to be absolutely in love with Him. No one will force you to do that. That's your choice. But He is there with His heart wide open to you, because He wants you to know Him even as He knows you.